Thank you, Ivan, for those prayers. Well, we're going to read, and if you've got Bibles on your phone or an actual Bible, going to read from Galatians. This is the last in our series of the fruit of the Spirit, which you can see here to my right. And I thought it'd be good. We're not just going to read this section. We're going to read from verse 17. And I'll stop around 26, I think. So here we go, these familiar words to us. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, drunkenness. I've missed a line. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Thanks, Andy, for getting that up so quickly. So, well done for staying with us throughout this whole series. We will be moving on to something else, obviously onto Advent from beyond here. But we finish with this last segment of the fruit, self-control. Out of all of the fruit that we've looked at, this is probably the easiest one to define, but one of the hardest ones to do. So to define it is very easy, because self-control is the ability to control oneself. That's pretty easy, isn't it, to define? If only it was that easy to actually do. Is it just me? Or are you with me in this? If you see a sign that says, do not touch, are you like me thinking, I need to touch it? There's something in us, isn't there? Where if something says, do not do this, our first instinct tends to be, well, I want to do that now. I really want to do that now. Anyone know what this says? Oh, will it work now? This is Braille. And it says in Braille, do not touch. I mean, we have a situation here, don't we? I must learn what they actually do, people who use Braille, if they actually touch, do not touch. What's the right thing to do at that point? I guess it's stop, but yeah. It's true though, isn't it? I mean, anyone who's had kids, you know, you're always telling the kids, I'm telling my twins, can you stop touching the TV? Because they pushed it over once, because... You know, it was fine. They didn't get hurt, but the TV was all right as well. We just have this thing in us, this nature in our spirit which wants to kind of do the opposite of what we know we should do. I still can't believe I did this. I was on a bus, I must have been about 18, sitting on the back seat of the double-decker bus, and it was a boiling hot day, and I saw the back window, and everything in me was like, you're not meant to open the back window of a bus, because it's an emergency thing. But I kept reading, and it said, to open, lift the handle. But to this day, I can't believe it, I felt my hand go up to the handle. And I opened it, and suddenly the bus driver, what do you think of it? The bus driver was like, shut that window. something made me do it. I just thought, I need to open the window. We have this thing, and you'll be able to identify it in your own life, this thing where the temptation to do something seems to overtake us somehow. I am going to be focusing a little bit on Galatians 5, but before that, we need to consider why we need self-control. We've looked at these different segments over the last several weeks, and when you look at these things, it's easy to attribute them to God, isn't it? We know that God is love, so when we think about love, it's very easy to make that connection with God. The same with joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. All of these things, they're very easy to attribute to God. But self-control, not quite so much, because God needs no self-control. Because there is no disorder in God. There's no misdirection. There's no sinful desires within God. So it's not quite so easy to attribute it to him. Because everything that God does is good and right and true and glorious and worthy of worship. But as we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus did exhibit self-control, didn't he? When he was tempted in the wilderness, I mean, he could have done whatever he wanted, but he didn't. He chose not to. When he was, taken to be crucified, he chose that. He chose to humble himself and to not do what he could have done. And so it's important, obviously, when it comes to self-control, that we look at the life of Jesus. Jesus is always, ultimately, our example in all of these things. But this is what it says in Proverbs. Oh, I went the wrong way. Proverbs 25, 28 says, like a city whose walls are broken is a person who lacks control. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks control. You see, when we lack control, things begin to come crashing down. The walls of a city were hugely important. They were the defense. That's why they had the city walls. They were a form of protection, protecting the people with inside the city. They were its security. And without the walls, when the walls are broken down and broken through, what you're left with is a city that is vulnerable to any danger that would seek to come and steal its peace and its prosperity. And the same is true of us, that when we lack self-control, it's like the walls have come down and we are suddenly vulnerable. We are opening ourselves up to all sorts of things that would come to seek to steal and destroy us and to pull us away from what God would want for us. And this is why the fruit of the Spirit is so important. because we're drawing on the power of God and His Holy Spirit in us to help us keep the walls up. Are you with me? Back to Galatians, verse 17, we read right at the beginning, says, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh." You see, this is the reason why when we see a sign that says "do not touch," our instinct is we must touch it. This is the tug of war that is within us. And this war is between our flesh and the spirit. In Romans, as I mentioned earlier, it's like it wages war against us. We are pulled about. You all see me very easily this morning get pulled across the stage with the, you know, the church here. Quite easily, actually. But you see, our desire needs to be that we're led by the Spirit. Because we can't do this on our own. However much inner power we try to give ourselves to demonstrate self-control, we're never quite going to be able to do it, because there will always be something that slips us up and catches us out. Won't there? I hope our desire is to be led by the Spirit. And then Paul goes on and he begins to list these obvious acts of the flesh, and there's a number of things that he mentions, and these are the things that are pulling against us. These are the things on the other end of the rope that are pulling us into these things. But it's not just these outwardly expressive things. It's the stuff going on in our head as well, isn't it? The things that we think, the way that we act, what's inside us. These are the things that seek to pull us away from the kingdom of God. I think it's one of the reasons Paul mentions the sort of spiritual armour in Ephesians. And one of the pieces of armour is the helmet, isn't it? To protect us, protect our thinking. You see, here's the crux of it, and actually most of you in here have got this down. When we give ourselves to Jesus, it's all or it's nothing. We've got to be all in. We can't hold a little bit of it back. I always liken it, not that I've ever done one, but to doing a skydive. Because once you're out the plane, you're not getting back in. Not until it's landed. You can't do half a skydive, can you? You've got to give yourself fully to it. Or actually you stay in the plane. See, we've got to be all in with Jesus. That means everything. That means we give him everything, all of those desires, all of those things that are trying to pull us away. And actually the things that try to pull us away from God, they're not always that bad of things, but they've got such a control on us. See, this is what sin does. This is what happens. The temptation itself isn't wrong. It's when we give in to that temptation, isn't it? But it's got such a pull that it can sometimes get a grip of us. And my heart is that I get a grip of it. I don't want it to strangle me, those things that are pulling me away from God. I want to strangle it so I kill it in my own life. But I do that by going all in with Jesus, by going all in with him and inviting the Holy Spirit to work in me. This is the fruit. The Spirit lives inside us. When we give ourselves to Jesus fully, God comes and makes his home in our hearts. By his Spirit. And so Paul lists all of these sort of sinful things, these sinful desires, but then he says, but this is the fruit of the Spirit. And then he lists off all of these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, the key to self-control is not really to look inward, but to look upward. We have Christ in us, so actually we're saying, actually, can we have more Christ control over my life? But it's not quite as simple as that. Peter says this, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance or perseverance, and perseverance with godliness. So although, yes, we need God's Holy Spirit to be growing this fruit in us, we are also part of this process. It's something we receive from God, but it's also something that we can strive for and pursue and chase down and be in collaboration and partnership with God. You see, biblical self-control means choosing to give up trying to control things for ourselves and allow God to help us as we walk with Him and alongside Him. That's when the real change begins to happen. I wish I had this more sorted in my life, this area of self-control. But I speak this to me as well. My desire is that I'm led by the Spirit, not led by my own self and thinking I know how to do it. So what tools can we use? What tools can we use to help us when it comes to self-control? I think the first one is the expectation that there will be trials and temptations. This isn't rocket science, is it? We know this. But we can be prepared. Know your weaknesses. If you know where you're weak, if you know those things that are pulling you in this things that you're in a tug of war with, if you know them, then you can sense the signs of when that's going to happen. And we're encouraged by the Bible to flee from them, to run away, to do something drastic to get it out of our lives. I had a number of young people in the past who come and shared with me, more than I care to wish to remember, sharing with me the struggle that they have with pornography. One lad particularly came to me, devastated that this thing had such a grip in his life. And he said, I don't know what to do. And I said, sometimes to flee from this stuff, sometimes you have to do the drastic stuff. So I said to him, start leaving, where do you look? He said, on my laptop or on my phone. I said, well, start turning your laptop off and leaving it in the kitchen. And then when you're in bed, it's not quite so easy, is it? Start leaving your phone somewhere where it would be a bit annoying to have to go and keep getting it. I was just trying to give him ways, something, to try and break this grip, but it's not easy. Being a Christian isn't an easy life. It's the best life. It's not an easy life. Not all the time. Temptation is around us, isn't it? The Bible tells us that the devil prowls around us. Jesus encouraged us to pray, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Secondly, it's a battle. It can be hard. We just need to recognize it. Jesus has won the victory, yes, and we need to lean on him and we need to press into him. And we all, I'm guessing many of us here know Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. Might actually have that. No, I don't. That might be the next one. Lean in on him, press in on him. We have power in Jesus. We have power in Jesus. It's recognizing that. There we go. Here's another one. You're not alone. So often the things that tempt us, the things that pull us away, the things that make self-control so hard is that we can feel like we're the only ones struggling in this area. Do you know, this is why we have church. This is why I love church. God never intended us to be on our own. Never intended us to deal with this stuff on our own. That doesn't mean we tell every single person in church the things that we're struggling with. But it does mean we support each other and can encourage each other and pray for one another. And prayer is your weapon. So easy to forget it. But when we talk to Jesus, when we pray to our Father, we're calling on the Almighty to do something mighty in our lives. And then Galatians finishes, against such things there is no law. You see, all of this fruit that we've been looking at over the last 10 weeks, I know it's 9 of them, but we had Remembrance Sunday. So I've missed 10 weeks in total. All of this fruit. The thing is, you can't stop it. I think this is one of the main reasons why in countries where the church is being persecuted, where Christians are persecuted for their faith, the church is growing. And I think one of the main reasons for that is because these fruit cannot be stopped. Paul tells us in this letter to the Galatians, he says, our sinful passions and our desires have been crucified with Jesus. In other words, these things which are pulling against us, they've been sentenced and put to death. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever seen any of those films, foreign films, where they've dubbed English over them. And they've got much better at this, but the really old ones, their mouths would be moving for ages, wouldn't they? And then it would be like, yes, or something like that, wouldn't it? And it would just be like, oh, I can't really watch them. I found it too, like, oh. But like, the voice, the sound and the visuals were completely out of sync, weren't they? You see, this is what I long for, that we are completely in sync with the Holy Spirit, in step with him, that our actions, our thoughts, our words bear fruit, that our words, our actions, and our thoughts are in complete tune, are in complete step, are in complete sync with what God wants us to be. I haven't got this right. Oh, boy, I haven't got this right. But I hope that your desire, as mine is to keep trying. To keep trying to live by the Spirit. To be in step with the Spirit. So that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control bear fruit in our lives. and affect the people who we know and who know us. Because when we do this, we are being Jesus to the world.